Good morning. How's everybody? Sleepy heads, come on now. It's hump day. Get through today and it's downhill to the weekend. And for Dallas and me, it's a week off after that.
Yes.
Look, we know what we're staring at here. We are facing the real hub of hurricane season, the hub of election season. We have all of whatever's going to happen in cities across the country in front of us. And so we're just going to take seven. We're going to take a few days.
We're taking a knee.
Yep. I like that. Well done, sir. So we begin. Our verse of the day is 1 Samuel 12:16. Now then, stand still and see this great thing the Lord is about to do before your eyes. Samuel was saying that because his peeps wanted God's presence, but they also wanted to keep doing their thing. One foot in the world, one foot in God. And you know, those things don't work very well. It's oil and water. They don't ever mix. They separate always. They always separate out. And so it's a really strong reminder to pay attention where your feet are planted. You know, what are you building on to go to New Testament stuff here? Are you building on a solid foundation? Are you standing on things that stand the test of time? You know, that's the thing about convictions that are anchored to me in a set of beliefs that are tied to God's word. It doesn't change based on your mood. You know, the worst parenting ever is parenting that is based on the mood of the parent. If a kid does something one day, mom or dad thinks it's funny and they giggle and laugh at it, and they do the exact same thing another, but because mom and dad are in a bad mood, then the hammer comes down. What in the world's a kid going to learn? That happens when you don't have your feet anchored in principles that do not move. It's like, you know, love you, kid, but you can't do that. That's a no-go. It's like, you know, dishonesty is a really big thing in our family. Why? Because I tried to explain this to each of my kids at different points in their life based on their maturity level. At some point, you are going to need mom and dad to believe you without question. Something's going to come up where we are going to have to react to a situation based on your word, and we need to know that you're being honest with us. And if we have doubt, we're going to be hesitating because of this happening before and that happening before. You've got to always be upfront and honest. We don't have to like you at a given moment. We will always love you. That's God's view of you and me. He doesn't always like us because we make boneheaded, bad choices. But he does always love us. Standing where you stand impacts so much of what unfolds in your day, in your week, in your month, in your year, in your life. So where are you standing? Samuel asked the Israelites, stand and be amazed at what God's going to do. But it's about standing on the right place, having the right vantage point. 10 minutes after the hour, this date in history. This morning is going to be a lot of fun, sort of, kind of. It just... You are going to be moved by some things this morning. Trust me. It's the Morning Show with Preston Scott.
Morning Show with Preston Scott.
You get nothing. You lose.
Good day, sir.
On News Radio 100.7 WFLA.
Dallas and I just talking. Nick Sandman was one of the speakers last night for the RNC, and that's the kid from Covington High School that went to the Lincoln Memorial and found himself confronted by a professional paid protester, and it was all staged to try to elicit something. And Nick discusses what happened. He talks about, I intentionally put my hands behind my back and I just stood there. He said, because I've always been taught, don't do anything that would bring dishonor to God, to bring dishonor to my family, to my community, to my school. And so I just sat there, and he said, I had no idea until the moment ended and this guy's grandson says, Grandpa, we got it. And they stop, and they put down their cameras and all that, like they were trying to set something up and do something. And he said, I didn't ask for this. But that's the mainstream media. And so for his trouble, Joe Lockhart, a CNN political analyst, tweets out, I'm watching tonight because it's important, but I don't have to watch this snot-nosed entitled kid from Kentucky. This is a guy hired by CNN as a political analyst. Did he not know that his network settled a $250 million defamation lawsuit?
If here's the thing. If that lawsuit included a non-disparage clause in the end, that guy may have just made Nick another $50 million.
Whatever it is, yeah.
Wow.
The responses, it seems CNN hasn't learned their lesson about smearing and slandering an innocent teen. Another tweet, your bosses at CNN defamed this kid. The entitled snot-nosed idiots were from CNN, not the other way around. Guy on radio station KTTH, Joe Lockhart, enjoys picking on an 18-year-old who has a far greater net worth than he does.
That's a great point.
After CNN, the same tweet, after CNN tried to destroy Nick Sandman, he sued and they were forced to settle. Maybe Joe had to take a pay cut for the settlement. another one, it's rare to watch someone fall in an obvious trap in real time, but it happens. Yeah, I guess he's entitled to the money your clown network had to pay him for defaming him. and then, you know, it's hilarious.
Oh, I love it.
August 26th, 1873, St. Louis Board of Education establishes the nation's first public school kindergarten. How many people, when they were kids, said kindergarten with a D? I did. I absolutely, because I didn't know what a garden was. What's a garden? A kindergarten? It's a playground planted with children. That's what I figured.
I want to see what those seeds look like.
Well, I mean, when I was a little kid, I thought,
I'm going to go to kindergarten. That's going to be fun. We're going to plant stuff and grow stuff. And yeah, Mom, I'm going to kindergarten.
Kindergarten.
Huh?
Just doesn't make sense. It just doesn't. Also on this date, Democratic National Convention begins in 1968 in Chicago. Ooh, that made headlines. If there's something positive about this year's conventions, it's that you're not seeing that. You're just seeing random riots all over the country because of, you know, hooligan children that were never punished and disciplined as children.
Yep.
You know, as kids, they weren't.
I bet they all got a trophy for participating in the riot.
Mostly peaceful protests.
What was a peaceful trophy?
Mostly. 16 minutes after the hour. We come back. Respect nature and maybe earn some money in it. Next on The Morning Show.
WFLA on your phone with the iHeartRadio app and on hundreds of devices like Alexa, Google Home, Xbox, and Sonos.
Dude, yes!
And iHeart's radio station.
Guess what day it is? Huh? Anybody? Julie, hey, guess what day it is? Oh, come on, I know you can hear me. Mike. What day is it, Mike? Leslie, guess what today is?
It's hump day.
Yes, it is. Hump day on the morning show with Preston Scott. Oh, man. This is the good and the bad of nature, outdoors, and so forth. Let's get the bad news over with first. We have this idea that the only bears that really are going to bother us are brown bears, grizzlies, Kodiaks, etc. I would say polar bears, except that they drink Coca-Cola and they don't bother anybody. Because we don't live near where they do.
Yeah, but if we did, they'd be the most dangerous thing on planet Earth.
Nah. They're cute and cuddly, and they help you open a bottle when you can't get
one
open.
Bite your tongue. Those things are vicious.
Black bear. Let me set this up. Lady is outside doing some things around the cabin with her kid. She sends her 9-year-old son inside to grab something. And as he's turning around to walk out, he watches from inside it as his mother is attacked by a black bear. She suffered significant injuries and, in fact, died of her injuries. So she gets killed by the bear. Her husband hears what's going on, runs out. The bear will not let go of his wife, so he ends up shooting and killing the bear.
Good.
And what's really kind of creepy about this whole story is, first of all, I mean, a moment of delay in sending her son inside, and she had no idea. She had no one saw, no one heard the bear at all. The children would have, at least one of the children would have been outside. According to the husband, the game ranger that came out determined that the bear had a belly full of berries and food. It was a totally unprovoked, no idea why attack. They said they run into bears all the time and they turn and run.
Mm-hmm.
Not this one. And so I bring this up because, honest and truly, this is another one of those scenarios where you need to be thinking through where you are and what you're doing. If you're going to go out camping and you're in bear territory, you need to be carrying a 45 or bigger. You need to be carrying a handgun, something significant enough to stop a bear, to give yourself a chance. Now, it may not have done any good for this woman because she was blindsided. She was totally ambushed by this bear. And people don't realize how fast bears are.
Yeah.
They are Usain Bolt fast, faster.
Well, they're faster, yeah.
Yeah,
for short bursts, right.
Well, I mean, up to 60, 100 yards, they are mm-hmm. faster than Usain Bolt. They don't look it for the same reason that a 747 doesn't look like it's going any faster than barely moving. Sheer size.
Mm-hmm.
Scale causes it to look like it's not moving fast. Oh, it is. So just advice, cooler weather's coming. A lot of you are going to be outdoors. Some of you are going to go out hunting. You know the drill. But I know so many guys that do that, and they carry a sidearm, not just their rifle, just because you might not have time to get your rifle down, shouldered, and aimed. And so, you know, smart hunters always carry a sidearm and a big one. You know, not a 9mm. That's not big enough. It's better than nothing, but it's not big enough. But then there's this. Satelliteinternet.com. Now, you might not think that a company called SatelliteInternet.com is going to do this. They are offering someone $1,000 to go spend a weekend at a national park of their choice and camp without any technology. No picture taking, no phone calls, no tweeting, no posting, no nothing. No live streams, nothing. Spend a weekend, cut off. And then at a predetermined time, you can go find a hotspot or whatever and then talk about your experience. It's interesting that a company that specializes in satellite internet wants that to happen. And they're going to pay up to $1,000 in expenses if you need to rent an RV or something like that, plus a $1,000 fee. We know many folks who camp with RVs also need satellite internet to stay connected, but given how much time we've all spent online, we wanted to find a way to help someone tune out the world and get back in tune with nature.
Yeah, I don't believe that reasoning at all. I think they've got... They're not paying $1,000 so that somebody else can relax. They're paying $1,000 to test something.
Well, not just that. It's a smart ad campaign.
Yes, it is.
They're drawing attention to themselves. I'd never heard of satelliteinternet.com, but there you go.
Yeah.
27 minutes after the hour, the news is now.
Weekend weather on the 10s and the truth all the time. The Morning Show with Preston Scott on News Radio 100.7 WFLA.
One of the things you're going to, I guess, hear, see more and more clearly over the coming weeks and months is how completely unhinged the Democrat Party has become. Nancy Pelosi, the Speaker of the House, calling the Republicans enemies of the state.
She's an idiot.
Now they're trying to say that Mike Pompeo is breaking the law, and he has broken the law by doing a speech from Jerusalem while he's on duty. They do get time to go to sleep and eat, and so it's not like he's sitting there next to Benjamin Netanyahu going, Benny, hey, hang on. Got to do a live shot here to the RNC.
I know we want peace and everything, but give me just a second. I got to do a live shot.
A minute, please. And so Democrats are... He broke the law!
He was on the clock! He said...
Unbelievable. And more will come here this morning on the show. Big story in the press box. Of course, Laura is going to be... Now, it is going to become a significant hurricane now, as we thought. You just don't know what's exactly going to happen. They're now saying it could make landfall in the wee hours tomorrow morning as a Category 3. Significant storm.
They just had Category 4 up on the TV.
So they might be bumping it up again. Yeah.
Delusions of grandeur.
Yeah. 385,000 residents told to evacuate Beaumont, Galveston, Port Arthur. More evacuating low-lying southwestern Louisiana. Forecasters looking at a minimum of 11 feet of storm surge, which will put entire towns underwater along the coastline. So, just something to keep an eye on. About 450-mile-long stretch of the coastline will be impacted by storm surge from Texas to Mississippi. That's how big of a swath these things push out. So... that's one. The other is, this is a story that I told Dallas I wanted to wait and see on this. The shooting of Jacob Blake by police officers in Kenosha, Wisconsin.
Yeah.
There's footage showing him, you know, fighting with a police officer before he breaks loose and gets to the car. Obviously, did they overreact? I would guess at this point, I think they probably did. However, this is also another situation where if you just sit your fanny down and comply, but he was trying to break up a fight. Exactly. It appears as though he did nothing wrong initially. But in any situation like this, and don't mishear me here, I'm not defending the police. I'm explaining how these things escalate and get ugly.
There's a mitigating factor in every single one of these situations, and you're talking about it.
And in this case, okay, police are sorting out what's going on. This guy was breaking up a fight. Well, they don't know that because right now he's fighting with them. He's struggling with the officers going back to his car. Is he getting a knife? Is he getting a gun? He's not cooperating. If you comply, things go a lot better for everybody. I'm going to share a story with you, a short one in just a second, about one activist from Phoenix that learned a lesson. And I'm going to put the video on the website soon. 40 minutes after the hour, it's the morning show.
Morning show with Preston Scott.
They all adore him. They think he's a righteous dude.
On News Radio 100.7 WFLA.
An activist critical of police handling of situations involving blacks, Reverend Jarrett Maupin, takes the challenge and goes through scenario use of force training with Maricopa County Sheriffs. Maricopa County is the county that surrounds Phoenix. Totally changed his perspective. 180-degree turnaround. He was leading marches 3 weeks ago. Leading marches, calling for police to do this and that, and I mean leading the crowds. He went through the training, and I've said, go on a ride-along. You don't even have to do this. But if you do this, this will be a game changer. They put him in different scenarios, three different scenarios where he had to make a split-second decision. He said, this is not what I expected. They asked him, why'd you shoot that guy? Because in one scenario, he shot the guy. He said, because he came at me. Did you know if he was armed? No. It's a whole new world. And again, do I think police overreacted to this gentleman in Kenosha? Probably. But I'm also going to tell you, be a police officer right now. I don't care what color you are. Be a police officer right now. So if you're pulled over, if police show up, here's my advice to you. Shut the hell up and do what they say.
Yeah.
But they're harassing. They're wrong. They're sue them.
Yeah.
Do you want to have a lawsuit? I mean, are you trying to have a trial right there? Because I will promise you, in a situation that starts to escalate, you'll lose. You will lose.
But these situations have proven that.
And nobody wins. No one. So shut up. Comply. Do what they say. Yeah, but they're a bunch of jerks.
So what?
Do what they say. To paraphrase from the movie Lincoln, they're the law. They're clothed in immense power. Respect the power, if not the person, and sit down and be quiet. If they made a mistake, hold them accountable. That's why we have a criminal justice system. But let me be, again, millions of encounters daily. And so what's happening in Kenosha right now? Yeah, let's destroy buildings, dealerships, businesses. What? You think that's justified? You've lost your mind. It's not justified. It's anarchy.
I love how people think that any of this, the rioting and the burning of buildings and all this, is justified in any way, shape, or form. And they're like, well, you know, our people suffered it. Yeah, you know what? The people you're taking it out on, the business owners, are not the ones that you're upset with. They're the ones that are paying the price for your stupidity.
And they're the ones employing all your buddies in the neighborhood.
Yep.
Or, sorry, used to employ.
Yeah, but
all
now
your buddies.
Now they're going to have to file bankruptcy, shut the business down, reorganize their life, and possibly move.
I mean, come on, people.
Stupid.
Democratic Senator Chris Murphy, Connecticut, quoting New York Times interview, "I have a real belief that democracy is unnatural. We don't run anything important in our lives by democratic vote other than our government. Democracy is so unnatural that it's illogical to think that it would be permanent. It'll fall apart at some point, and maybe that point isn't now, but maybe it is. I believe that Chris Murphy and anyone, again, I'm going to circle back to something I said over and over again. He should be forced out of office. If you don't believe in the Constitution,
you've sworn to protect,
which is a constitutional republic, it's not a pure democracy, but the basic principles of, you need to be out of office, and if you're a socialist communist running for office, you shouldn't be allowed to. No, I don't believe that a socialist should be allowed to run for office. They should be kicked out. That's the danger we're facing right now. Gaining control of our government. People that don't believe in the system of government we have. That's a problem. 46 minutes after the hour, it's the Morning Show with Preston Scott.
Morning Show with Preston Scott on News Radio 100.7 WFLA.
Well, now, next hour, I wanted to get some data before I started doing anything with the RNC, and I was going to kind of largely ignore it, but they have done such a masterful job of programming this thing. I'm going to share a little sound from night one. I know last night was night two. You're dated. No. Just trust me on this. Because now we have data, polling data, to go with night one. See, I didn't have that yesterday. I have it today. It came out late yesterday afternoon, the night before. What kind of reaction did this stuff get? Who is it resonating with? And you're going to be shocked. It's going to encourage some of you. It's going to encourage some of you because of the constant dirge of what we're hearing over and over and over. Biden's got a 14-point lead. Yeah, it's over. It's over. Trump can't win. They're dispirited. Did you hear that? They're dispirited in the Trump campaign. They're privately nervous. They're doing everything possible to try to discourage Trump supporters. First of all, wrong group. We talked about it earlier in this. Seriously, there are all kinds of voting blocks that you can effectively discourage. Trump supporters defy all of those things. They dig in deeper. They're like a quill of a porcupine. They get into the skin and then they just lodge. They've got a little barb on them and they're going nowhere.
Yeah, and they also have a little tiny hole in the front so the air can get through and it goes in deeper without stopping from the pressure. That's a little thing about porcupine barbs.
Did you learn that firsthand, Dallas?
Yes.
Oh, I had a feeling. How is it doing this? I watched the show Alone, and gal got a porcupine to feed off of, and she, it killed it and was carrying it back and did not realize she had a massive over jacket. She had an under jacket. She had a sweater and a shirt, and one quill went through all of it and got into her back.
Oh.
And she was genius. She got it out by herself on her shoulder blade. Using a camp knife and tweezers. Mm-hmm. I was just like, oh, you are a bad woman now.
Yeah,
she was awesome. Anyway, get this. Flying domestically is going to get even more challenging. The market's going to contract even more because American Airlines is cutting 19,000 employees. Out of that group, 1,600 pilots. Now, a lot of those pilots fly international routes, but they're contracting domestic routes. And this is in addition to, do the math. They did buyouts, early retirement, long-term leaves of absence for 23,500 employees earlier in the year. So, in total, 42,500 employees less are now working for American Airlines.
42,500?
500.
Wow.
Yeah, buddy.
All those people. And how do they find so many people that are constantly in a bad mood when you talk to them?
Well, and here's the thing. American was struggling with their customer service and delivery of services to begin with. I can't tell you how many flights family members of mine have been jerked around, canceled, rerouted, mm-hmm. or whatever with American.
Yeah, and then when you go and ask them about it, they're in a bad mood.
Yeah,
always.
And they don't want to, because they deal with it all the time. I get it. I don't blame them.
I don't care. That's what you chose to do.
I understand.
You'd be in a better mood.
I'm just saying.
No excuse.
I get it. Air travel's plunged 95% in April. It remains 70% down from a year ago. People don't want to deal with it. I'm telling you now. I believe a small portion of people aren't flying because they think it's unsafe. I think the overwhelming majority aren't flying because they don't want to deal with it.
Yep.
They don't want the hassle of the mask. Just is what it is. Some lessons come more expensive than others. Time for news. Cameras are operational, and we're on. We're live on the air. Broadcasting live. Because we're living. Dallas Rogers over there in Studio 1A. I'm Preston Scott.
Good. Who put a question marker on the teleprompter?
He reads everything, literally. Ooh, make note of that. Good to be with you this morning. Hour number two of the Wednesday broadcast. Greg Brednicki, mayor of Panama City, will join us in just a little bit. Offer John Daly, mayor of Tallahassee, this time slot. He was with us kind of in a weird time early in the month. I said, you want to double back? He said, nah, wait till September. So my pile of questions for the mayor will wait another month. But the mayor of Panama City will join us. And I hope time allows me to ask a philosophical question of him. And so it'll be fun because I've really grown to like Greg a lot. He's my kind of guy, and he's a Democrat. And that doesn't disqualify anybody, but in this day and age, I begin to question why someone remains with the party when it's just left the rails. But we'll get to that in a second here. Big story in the press box. Hurricane Laura is no joke. It is going to be a Cat 3 or 4 by the time it gets to... Right now, I guess they're predicting it to be a Category 4 storm by the time it reaches the coast at the Louisiana and Texas border.
What is Category 4? Is that 120, 120 mile per hour winds?
Maybe even a little bit sportier than that. 115 is Cat 3, yeah. So I'm guessing 125
right,
or
125
so.
125 to 130
probably. Something like that.
Wow.
Yeah, it's up there, and they're evacuating nearly 400,000 residents. Beaumont, Galveston, Port Arthur, southwestern Louisiana evacuating there as well. They're talking 11 feet minimum of storm surge. As the storm grows, you'll have more storm surge. If it picks up speed, you'll have even more storm surge. So just something to be aware of if you are looking at the opportunity. Look, it would be really easy for those of you, because many of us, we were very fortunate with Hurricane Michael. But there were a lot of people listening right now, and you weren't. You're still dealing with the effects of Hurricane Michael. And let me give you a word of empathy. I absolutely understand how you feel, because I made the prediction in the day after, I think it was the day after the storm. David Allen and I were just doing the aftermath of the coverage, and you know, we had been on the air a while, and I just sat back in the chair here. And I said, you know, I have a feeling this one's gonna disappear from the radar really fast. I don't think the entertainment industry, I don't think the country music world, I don't think that the pop artists, I don't think Hollywood elites, I don't think they're going to care about this. I don't think it's going to make their radar, and I don't expect there to be a lot of efforts to raise money to help. And I remember saying, I think we're on our own here. And so we did what we could to raise money and to keep that out there. And honestly, that was one of the things that sort of started our visits with Greg Brednicki, is the aftermath of Michael. What can we do to help? And, you know, our stations in Panama City got just, man, got hammered. We had people on our staff lost their homes, lost everything. They were living at the station in a trailer. They were living in a part of the building that the roof didn't cave in and collapse and was taken away. And, I mean, I could go on and on. It would be easy to just sort of ignore what's going on over there to our west because, you know, no one helped you, no one helped us type thing. Don't fall into that trap. If you can help them, be ready to help. Be ready to stroke a little check, $20, you know, $30, because they're going to need help. They're going to need what the help that this area needed. And I say this area generously, speaking mostly to our south and west. So just guard your heart from getting a little, and I get it, but don't let it go there. If you can help, be ready to help, because the pleas are going to be coming. Red Cross, Samaritan's Feet, whatever the cause might be. You know, Samaritan's Purse, I should say. That's who we linked up with and raised money for. So 10 minutes after the hour, we come back. Some sound from the RNC you might want to hear.
Beck, you want him on that radio.
America can handle the truth.
You need him on that radio.
9 to noon on WFLA.
I'm going to skip the ridiculous commentary of Chris Cuomo, and I have to say, where did he get his view of the world? I know, dad, brother, I get all that. But it is so warped. Charlie Kirk on night one of the RNC, and I know what a lot of you, well, but that was two nights ago, Preston. Why are you talking about it now? Because I wanted to get some data, and I'll get to that here in a second. But Chris Cuomo is talking about Charlie Kirk, founder of Turning Point USA. Candace Owens is affiliated. Candace Parker's a basketball player. Candace Owens affiliated with Turning Point USA. He said, look, if you're in a city that's allowing protests, you ought to be allowed to go to church. Makes a lot of sense, doesn't it? If they're letting protesters show up in mass, what's wrong with letting churches have church? Chris Cuomo punked that repeatedly, made fun of it. One has nothing to do with the other. You're dealing with people who are responding in this country to outrageous acts of social injustice. To say, oh, it's the same as going to church. No, it isn't. And he said, I want to go to church. I miss going to church. I understand there's a pandemic. You know who else does? My priest understands it. Chris, really? I won't get into the theology of that statement. I'm just going to get to night one. What's important is this. Polling data shows, you ready for the encouragement? Independents loved it. Almost to the exact same degree as Republicans. Republicans are giving all these speakers A's, A's pluses, B's. Independents are as well. That's what's key.
Wow.
This is an excerpt from U.S. Senator Tim Scott from South Carolina. Check this out.
Look at his actions.
Talking about Joe Biden.
Look at his policies. Look at what he already did and what he didn't do while he's been in Washington for 47 years. Ladies and gentlemen, people don't always see those failures because they think we're having a policy debate on two sides of an issue. That is not what is happening. Our side is working on policy, while Joe Biden's radical Democrats are trying to permanently transform what it means to be an American. Make no mistake, Joe Biden and Kamala Harris want a cultural revolution, a fundamentally different America. If we let them, they will turn our country into a socialist utopia. And history has taught us that path only leads to pain and misery, especially for hardworking people hoping to rise. Instead, we must focus on the promise of the American journey. I know that journey well. My grandfather's 99th birthday would have been tomorrow.
Listen to this.
Growing up, he had to cross the street if a white person was coming. He suffered the indignity of being forced out of school as a third grader to pick cotton, and he never learned to read or write. Yet, he lived long enough to see his grandson become the first African-American to be elected to both the United States House and the United States Senate in the history of this country. Our family went from cotton to Congress in one lifetime. And that's why I believe the next American century can be better than the last. There are millions of families just like mine all across this nation, full of potential, seeking to live the American dream. And I'm here tonight to tell you that supporting the Republican ticket gives you the best chance of making that dream a reality.
Mm-hmm. Goosebumps, man. That is just goosebumps.
Wow.
There are many that believe that that's Tim Scott's real moment to burst on the national stage. Get more in a moment on The Morning Show.
LA on your phone with the iHeartRadio app and on hundreds of devices like Alexa, Google Home, Xbox, and Sonos.
Hey, so here we go.
An iHeart radio station.
It's my Caddyshack.
Yeah, I was just going to say, man, you are channeling your inner gopher from Caddyshack there. Everyone on Facebook Live loved the moves. We're sharing some encouragement. Independents are strongly identifying with the messaging at the RNC. Strongly. It's the difference between sincerity and conviction and principle and hate and anger and bitterness. You get people that hate and they don't see anything else. They just see through the lens of rage. And that's why it's so important to stay clear of that.
Yeah.
As angry as we get at things, as angry as I got for 8 years under Obama, I was just as angry as these people are right now. But I did not allow it to cause rage and hate. They want bad things to happen to people that think differently than them. I would never want that, ever. I do hope that justice comes to those that are committing acts of anarchy, violence, rioting, looting. But I want to circle back. Independents are tracking with this. They are aligned with this. That's why I've been telling you, don't buy the polling. Don't pay attention to the mainstream media. Now, I want to go to another speaker. This is a gentleman named Maximo Alvarez. He fled Cuba with his family when he was 13. He remembers what it's like to live there, and he spent much of his time talking about that, and that he's seen, what are you seeing popping up in our country? He's seen that before. But I want you to listen to the final moments of his speech from Monday night.
My parents only wanted one person to decide my fate. Me. Not some party member, not some government official, not some bureaucrat. In America, I would decide my own future. I am so grateful to America. The place where I was able to build my American dream through hard work and determination. President Trump knows that the American story was written by people just like you and I, who love our country and take risks to build a future for our families and neighbors. I may be a Cuban born, but I am 100% American. this is the greatest country in the world. And I said this before. If I gave away everything that I have today, it would not equal 1% of what I was given when I came to this great country of ours. The gift of freedom. Right now, it is up to us to decide our fate and to choose freedom over oppression. President Trump, he's fighting the forces of anarchy and communism. And I know he will continue to do just that. And what about his opponent and the rest of the DC swamp? I have no doubt they will hand the country over to those dangerous forces. You and I will decide. And here's what I've decided. My decision is very easy. I choose President Trump because I choose America. I choose freedom. I still hear my dad. There is no other place to go. Thank you, and may the good Lord bless America.
27 minutes after the hour. It's the Morning Show with Preston Scott.
Morning Show with Preston Scott.
Laugh it up, fuzzball.
On News Radio 100.7, WFLA.
News team! Assemble!
35 minutes after the hour, amazingly on time in the broadcast this morning.
I know, right?
Dallas Rogers over there in Studio 1A. I'm here in Studio 1B. And joining us from Studio 1R is Bill Zimfer. Hi, Bill.
Good morning, Preston.
Bill, the RNC is underway. We've had the DNC in the rearview mirror now, but Democrats are still busy.
Yeah, they are. And part of it is, of course, to try to steal some of the thunder from the RNC because what the Democrats are again doing is bringing up the issue of stimulus. And it's not that they are really proposing anything new, but they're saying, hey, Republicans, the ball's over there in your court, and we're waiting for you to do something about it. And this is something that is the elephant will be waiting when Congress does return from the summer recess after Labor Day, and it'll be there, and there'll be tremendous pressure to get something done. And let me tell you what the deciding factor will be. Well, first off, we're beginning to see the effects of that first stimulus wear off. We saw unemployment claims, first-time claims go up a little bit last week. We're seeing sales figures from big retailers like Walmart begin to taper off after they had rebounded after the first stimulus. Still, states are kind of struggling to get out that extra enhanced unemployment under President Trump's executive order. So we're seeing that. And what could be the determining factor is Wall Street, because Wall Street, according to the analysts, has already factored in a second stimulus package. That's why we're seeing record or near record levels on Wall Street. If it falls through and Congress doesn't get something done, and this is a time when Congress doesn't usually want to touch hot button topics right before the election in the fall, if it doesn't get done, it's going to be an ugly fall on the financial markets, something President Trump doesn't want to see, and there'll be a lot of pressure to get something done. So but right now, this continues to be stuck in the mud.
Bill, what I can't get my brain around, and we all know it, but it's like it doesn't matter. This is like giving money to your kids to buy you a birthday present. I mean, we're giving money to people that's tax money to yeah. It defies logic. We're going further and further in debt.
Yeah, and that's what Republicans are saying here, because all of a sudden, Preston, we're tossing around the word trillion like it's nothing. and the Democrats are saying $3 trillion. That's what they've already approved. and they haven't moved off of that. The Republicans are saying, yeah, we probably need more stimulus, but we can't go above a trillion. I mean, you know, but we're tossing around trillion like it's nothing, right? So this is an issue, but you're walking that line again between trying to continue to prop up the economy and really putting us into debt to a point where, well, we're already there probably, that it will take a long time to climb out of.
Bill Zimfer, national correspondent with us this morning on The Morning Show. Bill, I'm of the opinion that vaccines for COVID-19 are unlikely because we don't generally have success putting a vaccine out for viruses. But what's the new news out there?
Yeah, well, yeah, and you're right about that. The figure is 17%. 17% of vaccines actually become effective.
Yeah.
So you're against the odds to begin with. But here's the real fear now, because Russia has kind of raised their hand and said, we have one, even though they've skipped over some of the, and there's some speculation it's really just vodka.
Makes you speak Russian.
In their vaccine. And China is saying, like, oh, that old thing. We've been vaccinating people since July. So there's a fear now that there will be some arm twisting to get an emergency use authorization in this country for a vaccine before we have all the data in. Mm-hmm. Couple of problems. One, of course, is safety concerns. The other part is that once you have an emergency use authorization, it may actually deter and hinder other vaccines from being developed that actually might be more effective.
Yep.
So, there's some cautionary notes out about that now.
All right. Great job, everybody on the set. Good job today. Way to go, Bill.
That's a wrap.
We'll talk to you tomorrow, Bill.
See ya.
Thank you. I just brightened up Bill's email box with got hairy legs. He'd not seen or heard it.
Yeah. That's going to be awesome.
Yeah. 40 minutes after the hour on The Morning Show with Preston Scott.
Morgan. His opinion. He just happens to be right. The Morning Show with Preston Scott on News Radio 100.7 WFLA.
Forty-two minutes after the hour of The Morning Show with Preston Scott. He said it. It put it in my mind. I must bring context to it, however. This is the actual speech.
And by the way, you know, I sit on the stand, and it get hot. I got hairy legs. Oof. that turn blonde in the sun.
Mm.
And the kids used to come up and reach in the pool.
What?
And rub my leg down.
What?
So it was straight, and then watch the hair come back up again. They look at it. So I learned about roaches. I learned about kids jumping on my lap.
Oh.
And I've loved kids jumping on my lap.
I got hairy legs that turn blonde in the sun.
I've ruined your day.
In the sun.
The tune will never leave.
My legs.
Mm-mm.
From the morning until the day's done. So the day's done.
We are at the end here.
You heard what I said. I got hairy legs.
Hey.
Yeah, man.
Come on.
Watch the hair come back up again. I'm the guy with the best chance to win.
What time is that thing?
It's only 66, not up yet.
And Corn Pop was a bad dude. And he ran a bunch of bad boys and a bad crew.
Blackburn, yeah?
Yes, sir.
I really was the only white guy they really knew. He said, I'll meet you outside. And I said, what am I going to do? Corn Poppy can't stop. Corn Poppy won't stop.
That's fine, thank you.
I'm the only person on this stage that's
got hairy legs. Hairy legs that turn blonde in the sun.
We got other issues we're trying to get
to.
Here's
the last point I want to make. My time's going to run out. Here's the last point I want to make to you.
I got hairy legs. That's right, you heard what I said. You heard what I said. It's a pretty darn good lifeguard. I learned a lot.
We let this get out of control.
Then down in Mayfield with my grandpa. We used to play basketball with Corn Pop. And he sank every single shot. Corn Pop, he can't stop. Corn Pop, he won't stop. Yeah. Corn Pop, he sank every
Show. Time is up. Thank you.
I'm not out of time. You spoke over time, and I'm going to talk. Here's the deal.
I hope that's as much fun for you.
So my wife just texted me. She said, "Did he really say that stuff?" Yes.
That's why
I did. From a speech.
That's exactly why I did a remix. I edited it down a little bit, got rid of a little extraneous talk that only works because it's on video. The video, I've forgotten so far to post it. Mm-hmm. There's so many other things I want to post, but I will post that on the blog page for you because the video is really good.
Oh, my gosh.
But I did do, I think, a pretty good job editing that down, but I wanted you to have context. The speech is what makes that. That's his speech. That speech, that excerpt is unedited. Boom. One part to the next. No cuts. That's what he said. He said that stuff.
Yeah, they just ran it through a tuner. It's called a vocoder.
But I mean, this when you listen to the speech itself, it's like, ooh, that's gross.
Right.
And if you listen carefully, the next time I play it, when you listen carefully to it, you will hear people just totally disinterested in anything he's saying. He's at some aquatic center. You know, I don't know if they're naming it the Biden Aquatic Center or what it is, but he is trying to speak and no one cares. There's just no one's paying attention. And he's rattled by it. You can tell by what he's saying. And kids, they used to reach up and pull my leg hairs and
rub my legs just to watch the hair to come back up again.
Dear goodness, Joe!
What did you just say,
Joe?
What? You know his people were behind him, and as soon as it came out of his mouth, they were like, and that's time. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen, for coming.
Confiscate all film. 46 after.
Got you covered. Traffic and weather every 10 minutes. It's the Morning Show with Preston Scott on News Radio 100.7 WFLA.
Sorry, distracted. I had someone tell me there's a new one, sort of new. It's actually, it's not new. It's been around since last summer. It's called Super Creep. Instead of Super Freak, it's talking about Joe Biden's penchant for sniffing women's hair. He's a super creep. Super creep. He's super creepy.
Creepy.
Yeah. Oh, boy. I'll have to vet that before I share it. Next hour, Greg Brudnicki, mayor of Panama City, joins us for a little spell. Big stories in the press box. We got a bunch. Hurricane Laura. Looks like it will be a Category 3 or 4 when it hits the border between Texas and Louisiana in the wee hours of the morning. And that's like the worst. Man, when that thing, a storm of that magnitude coming in at night, I mean, it's bad no matter what, but at night, there's just something so creepy because you really can't see well, and navigating it, if you're still in it, is really difficult. It's made more dangerous at night, significantly so.
Well, you got all that particulate in the air, the stuff that it's picked up off the ground, that it's just kind of moving from place to place. When it's dark, that is a complete surprise. So if you get hit by anything moving, which chances are if you get hit by something moving at those wind speeds, you're not going to get back up. But still, when it's daylight, you can kind of see stuff coming.
Well, yeah.
Not that you can do anything about it.
Even if you were, like, let's just say you decide, yeah, we're out of here.
Yeah.
Okay, now what? You can't see. You don't know. I mean, there's the old rule of thumb. If you can't see the road, don't drive through it. You know, when it comes to water and all that stuff. I mean, it's just People think they can take their 4x4s or whatever through these water things, and man, your 4x4 ain't nothing.
I got four-wheel drive
compared to some of the water and the power that it has. Anyway, I think the memo for many of us in this area is just look for opportunities to help and make a difference. We said, you know, last half hour or so, we don't want to be those people that don't help. That's what Hollywood and the music industry, they just turn their back on. You know, they help when it's populated areas or when their interests are impacted. A rural area like the panhandle of Florida, they honestly did not care. And it was really aggravating to me. But it's not going to stop me from, you know, if there's a need, and there will be, okay, whether it's Samaritan's Purse, Red Cross, whatever you feel led to give to, do something. Do what you can to help. Jacob Blake, gentleman shot in Kenosha, Wisconsin, was seen on video struggling with officers before the shooting. It does not justify the shooting. It explains it. There's a difference. When you have someone that you're trying to detain, even if it's to figure out what in the world's going on, and they fight with you, struggle with you, and then go into their vehicle, you don't know if they're getting a gun, a knife, or nothing. You don't know. Do I think they overreacted? Yeah, I think they probably did. But we'll let that sort itself out. I'm not prepared to roll them under the bus yet. I'm just not there. To me, it looks like they overreacted. However, I will also say, sit down. Be quiet. Comply. If they're wrong, so be it. Deal with it in court.
Also, the cops are just entering the situation. Give them a few minutes to figure out what's actually happening. They're not going to get it from you screaming as they're walking up, "It's him! It's him! It's that guy!" That doesn't help.
Sit down. Be quiet. Comply. If they say stay over there, stay over there. Even if it's your baby doll, your son, your daughter, your husband, your wife, stay away. You're not going to help.
Yeah, and shut up. You're not helping by adding anything.
Nope.
Let the cop, if he wants to know something, he'll ask you.
But, yeah, there's nothing that says injustice more than burning down buildings and businesses and taking people's jobs. Time for news. Three, the morning show with Preston Scott. Good morning. Thanks very much for joining us this morning. It is Wednesday, August 26th, show number 4316. Great to have with us on the show this morning the mayor of Panama City, Greg Brednicki. Mayor, how are you?
I'm doing well. How about you?
I'm doing good. I would imagine that maybe about 10 days ago, maybe a week ago, when that first forecast came out, really showing, you know, Hurricane Laura, then Storm Laura, or System Laura, making its way towards your part of the world, you had some nervous moments.
I did. Yep. Yeah, no doubt about it. You know, we were beginning to get prepared and talking about stuff with emergency management here as to what we would do preparedness wise, and we knew we would be ready, but we were. You know, I don't want to wish ill will on anybody, but I'm glad that it hit it west.
Mayor, I'm still a little grouchy and a little touchy on the fact that the region did not get the attention of the mainstream media. It didn't get the attention of the Hollywood elites. It didn't get the attention of the music industry. And I've just reminded listeners, look, they're going to be needs where this storm hits. It's going to be a Category 3 or 4 when it hits tomorrow. Be sensitive to that. Don't let the grouchiness, you know, kind of rob you of the blessing of helping others. Where are you in all of that?
Well, you know, when Katrina hit back in 2005, I guess it was, we put together quite a few people to go out and do a lot of shopping for a lot of things for first responders that they needed over there, because a bunch of people got flooded out, and they actually, you know, they were glad to get underwear and socks. And so we sent a truckload of all kinds of supplies like that. And then, you know, baby food supplies and so many different things. We just raided all the stores here in town and, you know, put together semis and sent stuff over there. So that was what we were told that they needed. And so, you know, we did that. That was all personal. That wasn't the city. That was, you know, personal, a lot of friends and stuff. So we, you know, provided goods that they needed to exist. That was one of the things that I remember that we did. And then there was people that were bringing generators and all the same things that happened here. You know, we had, I think it was 900,000 hours of volunteerism for people that came to us during Michael, and from all over the country. It was phenomenal. I was amazed. And there's still people here working, doing things to help rebuild.
Well, and to that point, the governor was in Panama City last week. Talk about his visit and its purpose.
Yeah, he was here last week. You know, we had a program that last year there was $5 million provided from the state for down payment assistance for people. And we burned through all of that. It was a very, very successful program to help people change from, well, for one thing, to buy a home, workforce housing and stuff. And what happened was they did the same thing again this year and provided $10 million. You know, we have a very unique situation, and we found out during and after the storm that we had 70% renters and 30% homeowners, which is just the opposite of most areas. So this helps people to vest in their community and to buy something and build some equity. So this really helps, because in many instances, you know, the biggest problem with buying things is that downstroke, that piece of your own equity that you put into a piece of property that your banker wants to see and everything else. So that's primarily what his visit was here last week. And it was a really big deal. And we didn't even know what it was about until he got here.
Oh, that's good stuff there. Mayor Greg Brudnicki, Panama City. Greg, stand by when we come back. I think there's a date that listeners in the Panama City area affected by Michael, September 1st, there's going to be an open up for applications. We'll talk about that as well as some other things. Mayor of Panama City, Greg Brudnicki, with me on the morning show.
Morning show with Preston Scott.
You will not laugh. You will not cry. You will learn by the numbers. I will teach you. Now get up. Get on your feet.
On WFLA.
11 minutes after the hour, it is the morning show, our monthly visit with the mayor of Panama City, our neighbors to the south and to the west, Mayor Greg Brudnicki. Mayor, September 1st, applications. Where does someone apply for maybe up to $15,000 in this money?
The Panama City Housing Authority, or not Panama City Housing Authority, but our authority right within Panama City in City Hall.
Okay.
Michael Johnson heads that up, and anyone that is living in our county or in the city or within the hurricane affected area can apply. And so it's a case by case basis. And of course, you know, this helps us. We will hook you up with a local bank that is participating in this program.
Nice.
And so it's really, really neat. And we've got a lot more places coming online now that are going to be available for people. And this will help drive our rent prices down also, because, you know, when the inventory goes down, rent goes up. And we believe that in many instances, people will be able to buy a home, taxes, insurance, principal, and interest, and probably be less than their rent.
That's good news. Greg, the commission met just a day or so ago. Pretty important meeting. We'll get to the budget in just a second, but developments with St. Joe.
Yeah, we have been working tirelessly for the last couple of years to put together a situation, because St. Joe wants to become a partner with the city and build a hotel, restaurant, and amphitheater on the marina here, on a portion of the marina. And so yesterday we were able to vote for me to ink the lease. It's been a long time coming, and it's something that's really going to rejuvenate our downtown area. So kudos to all the hard work that was put in by our staff and by St. Joe, and we certainly appreciate them being a partner. You know, they're vested in our community, and it's all about moving everybody forward. So George Gonzalez and his team are some magnificent people. They're really, really awesome.
Mayor Greg Brednicki with me this morning. Mayor, I can't imagine a worse double blow than a massive Cat 5 hurricane followed by a pandemic. So give us some perspective on where the budget process, where you are in terms of, you know, revenues and so forth, pre-hurricane to where you are now, not just after the hurricane, you're trying to recover, but then the pandemic hits. What kind of percentages are you dealing with now, if you were to pie chart this for me?
Well, it's very difficult because, you know, we were well reserved in the city and always, you know, well healed as far as being able to have cash to do the things that we needed to do. But when you throw something like that out there, all of a sudden those well reserved reserves look like peanuts when you have $130 or $140 million worth of debris bills. And so the process of getting all that organized and auditable and sent to the government, in the meantime, you want to keep your haulers around, so you've got to be paying them, you know, so we set up a line of credit. But, you know, when you're talking about a reserve that's $15 to $20 million and you've got a $150 million bill, it's a pittance. So of course, you know, we had to do a lot of maneuvering to do to be able to remain a going concern and be the stable force within our community, the biggest city in the county. And so I am sure that probably some of those haulers stayed around for the smaller cities because we were paying them, you know, parts of to be able to keep them here where these other cities really couldn't. So and of course our county, Bob Mike and his staff, our county commissioners, are just awesome people, awesome leaders. They do a great job, and they were able to maneuver to do a lot of the same things that the city did.
Income wise, though, where are you compared to pre? 30 seconds.
We're under. There's no doubt,
right?
Because of a lack of a lot of the businesses not being open, because we also get supported by a merchant fee, and values when they drop significantly, mm-hmm. you've got a millage rate times a smaller number. Well, you know, you don't have to have calculus math to figure out that you're going to be taking in less money. So we've got to be able to rebuild to make sure that we can get our values up, so we get our revenue up and all the different consumption taxes that go along with that.
Mayor Greg Brednicki with me. One more segment when we come back on the Morning Show with Preston Scott.
FLA on your phone with the iHeartRadio app and on hundreds of devices like Alexa, Google Home, Xbox, and Sonos.
This is crazy!
An iHeart radio station.
If you're looking on Facebook Live, there you saw a website called windy.com and the status of the storm as we speak. Hurricane Laura moving its way to the Texas-Louisiana border. Hundreds of thousands being evacuated from the area. We are with someone who knows all about that kind of thing, Mayor Greg Brednicki, City of Panama City. Greg, since it's still a very important thing, more so for you than maybe any other part of the country. Greg, you there? Whoops. Hello?
Did we lose him?
Did we lose Greg? We might have lost Greg. Greg, you there? Huh. Okay. I'm going to put him on hold, and you can check and see if he's going to come back on there. Don't know if we can do it, but he might have gotten called out. That happens when you're the mayor. You sometimes have to take care of some things. Let me kind of parrot what I knew we were going to be talking about here in this segment, because I know that Greg has been very, very focused on trying to get those of you in Bay County especially in and around the city of Panama City, fill out your census. Be proactive on that. It is it's really important for the region. There's no telling that there's going to be a redo, and I think you have to pay if you want them to do another census. You would think they would just use the last set of numbers that they had before the hurricane, because they do keep track of residency in every community. But sadly, that's not the case. So if you haven't done the census and you're in Bay County, by all means, please fill that out. All right, we'll move on. Sorry about cutting that short, but stuff happens.
He's the mayor in Panama City, where right now there are a tropical storm and a hurricane off the coast. Look, he's probably got stuff going on. I get it.
It's not off his coast, though.
No.
But he's probably seeing it.
See it if he stands on something really tall.
I think he's seeing another radio show host. I'm going to try to not be hurt. I'll scratch his eyes out. I do want to, since we do have the feed, and I'll go ahead and put that up for Facebook Live people. Yeah, don't get grouchy. It's easy to get grouchy. No one was there to help us. No, a lot of people came to help. We were very, very blessed to see a lot of people come into the region from outside, and organizations like Samaritan's Purse that came and brought heavy equipment and gear and so forth. And so, again, it's all about, okay, let's forget that. Let's treat other people the right way. So don't tie up your purse strings. If you can, help those that are going to be impacted by Hurricane Laura, do so. If you can't, you can't. No one's going to beat you up over it. But a Category 3, 4 is right now, the latest projection is that it's going to be a Category 4 offshore, and by the time it makes landfall, it will have weakened slightly to a Category 3, but it's bringing storm surge and everything bad with it. And so it is. When we get back, we will share. I don't know if I've got the time to share some more audio from the RNC Monday night. I've got one more clip. If you missed Tim Scott's speech, if you missed Maximo, all of a sudden I've gone blank on his last name. Hang on here. It is Maximo Alvarez. If you missed that, it is really worth your time to go find that sound and listen to it. Go back and listen to the show or find it online. Those are speeches worth listening to. But so was Vernon Jones, state representative from Georgia. And we might get to that next. Stay with us. We're reshuffling the deck 27 minutes after the hour. Time for news.
Someone has to say it. The Morning Show with Preston Scott on News Radio 100.7 WFLA.
Do, 35 minutes after the hour, the Morning Show with Preston Scott. Hurricane Laura, obviously a big story in the press box because an area is going to get devastated. I'm with Greg Brednicki, the mayor of Panama City, who joined me, who said, I don't wish it on anybody, but I'd rather it not be here. That's the way everybody thinks about these kinds of things. You don't want anybody to get hurt by it.
Right before we get on the air, when I answered the phone, I was like, boy, it looks like we dodged a bullet on that one. He just went, whew. I mean, you can just hear the, wow, yeah. You know, because, I mean, not only would it be another hurricane disaster in that area, there's two. There's the Laura and the one that, you know, we've got all this extra rain and wind, man. I feel lucky. That's a lucky shift.
Very grateful.
Yeah.
Very, very grateful. Another big story in the press box. Video from another angle involving the shooting of Jacob Blake. Gentleman it appears as though is paralyzed at this point from the waist down. The family begging people to stop the violence. Film crews there last night, videotaping, news crews, catching someone saying, yeah, I think I just killed a guy. I think I just murdered someone is the quote. It's staggering what's going on. The lawlessness that's happening. And again, I'll remind you, this video shows him, Jacob Blake, struggling. And he may have been upset because he showed up allegedly to stop a fight and ends up getting shot. But in between that is information that matters and doesn't necessarily change our feelings, opinions, or whatever, but it does explain things. There's a big difference in, you know, words matter. There's a difference between excusing and explaining. If an explanation leads to an excuse, so be it. But an explanation is merely saying there's more facts than what we originally had. And I was very hesitant on this story from the beginning. It didn't compute the way the narrative was originally rolled out and the reaction of the governor of Wisconsin. It was just surreal. And I sensed that there was just a little more out there to this. And lo and behold, we have a video. It shows him struggling before there was ever anything that happened. Resisting the police officers, struggling with the police officers. Police officers arrive at these situations trying to figure out what in the world's happening. And then things went south in a big way. It doesn't mean the actions of the police officers were justified. It does not. I am not saying that. I am saying that you can create a situation by your actions and your attitudes that leads to an unfortunate and unnecessary violent encounter. You know, the person that doesn't adhere to what they're being commanded by a duly sworn law enforcement officer.
Armed law enforcement officer.
They're saying, sit down, be quiet, whatever those commands are. You don't have to like them. If you feel that you have been wronged legally, then you go get an attorney. And trust me, there are plenty.
Yes.
There are plenty right now that will take your case. But live to have the fight in court. Don't create a situation by your actions that exponentially ramps up the emotion and the potential for something wrong to happen. What do they teach you about owning a firearm? Make sure that it is under lock and key or where it cannot be grabbed by a child. Make sure that if you pull your gun out in any situation, you are pulling it out to use it. Be prepared to use it. When you create a situation that causes an officer to put his hand on his firearm, that's step one. Understand that, read that, know that, and stop. De-escalate. So what do? We destroy businesses, communities, we take jobs, and this is somehow supposed to be legal? It's absurd. When we come back, some sound from the RNC on the Morning Show with Preston Scott.
Morning Show with Preston Scott.
It's a fool who looks for logic in the chambers of the human heart.
On News Radio 100.7 WFLA.
Almost 42 minutes after the hour, my buddy Dr. Ed Moore posts, please say some good words over Brian Smith, local volunteer first responder, who lost his life yesterday trying to save two people who decided to go into the water on a double red flag day.
You know, at that point, I would stand on the beach and wave at him.
Two sheriff's deputies almost met the same fate.
Stupid. There's people should be charged with it's like manslaughter, but it's a reckless endangerment kind of thing. I don't know what the charge is, but they caused that guy's death. They're responsible for it.
Unbelievable.
Wow.
You don't go in the water.
A double red flag. I mean, even a red flag day, but a double red flag, that's basically saying, please don't. I said, please don't.
There was a tropical storm followed by a hurricane that has been in the Gulf. The waters are bad.
Sounds like a good day to go. Let's go surf, Preston. Grab the ironing board. I'll surf on that.
Man. Thoughts and prayers to the family, friends of Brian Smith.
Yeah.
Volunteer. A volunteer saying, yeah, I'll take my downtime. And I'll go out there and try to be a help to people. Think about that for just a second. I'm going to take my off time from whatever it is that I do vocationally, and I'm going to be trained, and I'm going to volunteer to try to help people keep people safe.
Yeah, and we lost him, but we were able to keep those two morons that were out in the water. Wow, I'm so happy about that, the way that turned out. That was a great situation.
Man. Well, never mind on playing the sound. I'll hold that for another day. No, I'm too grouchy now.
have I grouched you up?
You know, it's I've got Yosemite. People is so stupid. Right?
Yeah. That's what I'm talking about. I mean,
you step back and look at the rioting that's going on. It's like we talked about in the wake of George Floyd's death. Yep, nothing says mourning and honoring the dead like breaking into a store and stealing big screen TVs.
Mm-hmm. Nothing eases the pain of grief and loss of a loved one like a 55-inch LED, 8K, mounted on your wall.
You know, when close friends, family members pass away, I always feel like torching a car dealership or three.
Yeah, I think punishing people that had nothing to do with it by destroying their businesses and livelihoods is definitely a good move on a Friday night.
This crap needs to stop. And again, look at where this goes unrestrained. Democrat-run states and cities. It doesn't happen in places controlled by Republicans because they don't allow it.
Yeah.
We understand you're upset. We'll walk with you.
Yeah. Two-year-olds get upset. We don't let them break the coffee table.
We'll commiserate with you. We'll argue the case for you in court. We'll stand with you. But we're not allowing this. Not happening. Thankfully, we put a line in the sand in the capital city. Forty-six minutes after the hour. But you know, this all ruined a really good show. Now I'm in a bad mood.
What?
46 minutes past. It's the morning show.
Mic stand, by the way.
I actually grabbed a goose. Man. It was a show full of promise. And then the third hour happened. Great zing by a buddy that texted it to me, shared it. Micah sent me this. This was, and a zing is sent to the local newspaper in response, usually to some of the stories and things that are being pushed out. He zinged out Governor Gavin Newsom assures Californians wildfires are mostly peaceful. Just there to help you keep you warm and roast marshmallows and hot dogs. Let's see here. Some trends that we're paying attention to. Listeners more likely to be feeling a slew of emotions this week. Overwhelmed, concerned, exhausted, all on the rise. Unusual. The word unusual saw the biggest jump over the last week. Americans continue to place a higher degree of trust in state and local leaders over federal. Oh, man. Talk about the lesser of evils. Oh, my gosh. Increasingly likely to think the federal government isn't doing enough to help small businesses, individual Americans, and public schools. We have become so addicted to government money. Yep. We are like heroin addicts.
Yep. Needy.
Give me another one. Guy, I need some more, man. I need some more.
Hey, man, can I just talk to you for just a second over here, man? I just need one. Just need one, man. Just one. Just one. Got one.
American parents significantly less satisfied with their kids' K-12 education compared to a year ago. Interesting. And while very few are writing off holiday plans, get-togethers altogether, most say they're making game-time decisions about the safety of holiday celebrations. So the impact continues. Morning Show 180, look back at the program in 180 seconds or less. We've got a big storm that's going to hit the Louisiana-Texas coast about 1 a.m., give or take, tomorrow morning. We'll keep an eye on it. Jacob Blake seen struggling with officers before being shot. It does not excuse being shot. It explains the escalation of the event. Whether there was such a breach in protocol as to result in criminal charges, we will have to wait and see. But somewhere, someone's got to show some backbone in these cities, Kenosha and Portland and Seattle, mm-hmm. and say enough.
Mm-hmm.
And that should have happened after the first night.
That should have happened after night one, period.
Democrat Senator Chris Murphy. This is the disconnect. I have a real belief that democracy is unnatural. We don't run anything important in our lives by democratic vote other than our government. Democracy is so unnatural that it's illogical to think it would be permanent. This is from a sitting member of the United States Senate. He should be thrown out of office, and I will go a step further and tell you that there is no way that a socialist or a communist should be allowed to run for office anywhere in this country. This is a constitutional republic. You can't take the oath of office if you don't believe in the system of government. Good news. For supporters of President Trump and for Republicans in general at this point, independents are tracking in step with Republicans in their reaction to the Republican National Convention, meaning they are aligning with it. Polling is showing it. Don't expect to see much of that pushed out in the mainstream media outlets. Because it breaks the narrative that they're trying to create that Trump doesn't have a chance. His followers are dispirited. Nothing could be further from the truth. Speaking of, we'll be back tomorrow.